I'll have a blue Christmas without
Terry McLean and Discerning the Times. A special treat for you today. I request, and my wife made the request, her favorite song of the season.
And a request for me.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. About you. It'll be decorations of really red on a green Christmas tree. And we won't be the same there if you're not here with me. And when those it'll be blue.
Christmas is not in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible is anyone encouraged to commemorate the birth of Christ. His death, oh yes, we are to remember that till he returns for us. But his birth, no. The apostles, no. No celebration in the apostolic church. There was no such thing as a commemoration of Christ's supposed birth until 300 years after the death, burial, and resurrection. Such a celebration came only when Roman Catholicism busied itself Christianizing paganism and bringing the pagan under the auspices of the Roman Catholic Church. Pagan rites run rampant in Romanism. If you are a student of history, church history most particularly, you will see revealed very clearly that by 440 A.D., the church at Jerusalem started celebrating Christmas, following the lead of Roman Catholicism. Seemingly forgotten in all of this is the essential role that religion played in ancient Rome. Constantine understood. He was a brilliant military commander, and he also had a genius to recognize the need for a union between paganism and Christianity. For that reason, the Babylonian mystery religions were introduced by Constantine in 313 AD as he tried to incorporate the pagan into the newly constituted Holy Roman Empire. The Constantine-led Roman Church was willing to adapt and adopt, and they would adapt and adopt pagan practices at every turn. When you see the monstrance, the sun symbol, in Roman Catholic churches over the host most generally, what you're looking at is pagan sun worship. Pagan rituals and idols took on Christian names. Jesus was named the Son of Righteousness, replacing the Son God. Sol Invictus was worshipped by the pagans. Pagan holidays were reclassified into Christian holy days. Holiday, holy days, you see it? December 25th was the victory of the Sun God. And right close to the vernal, the winter solstice, I'll get it right eventually, it was then seen as the return of the sun as the days got longer, day by day, minute by minute, and so that then was a good time to speak of the S-U-N God and wrap that around the S-O-N, Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is exactly what happened, and you've all heard of the festival of Saturn, Saturnalia, and that was the winter solstice in the ancient Roman Empire. To all ancient pagan civilizations, this date was the birthday of the sun god in the sky, the time of year when the days began to lengthen, and it was then thought to be the regeneration of nature. As a matter of fact, you, if you study your Bible, can figure out without a great deal of difficulty that the Lord Jesus Christ was born late September, maybe early October, but no later than that. We've already seen that last week in that broadcast of the Discerning the Times radio program. December the 25th was particularly important to the cult of the Mithras, a popular deity of old Roman Empire. And Robert Myers, one who favors celebrating Christmas, writes in his book in favor of Christmas celebrations that prior to the celebration of Christmas, December 25th in the Roman world was the Natalis Solis Invicti, the birthday of the unconquerable sun. So there can be no doubt. And as a Bible-believing Christian, I refuse to pretend that I don't know these things. I refuse to put myself in the vulnerable position of going along with something that I know to be an absolute lie. I get very weary and very wary of those people, such as I just got my Berean Searchlight, and it says in the Berean Searchlight, published by the Berean Bible Society, that we should use Christmas to our advantage. First you compromise, first you go along with something that's a pack of Roman Catholic lies and paganism, and, oh, we're going to use that for Jesus. Why don't you just lay off on December the 25th and get busy the other 364 days of the year doing what you talk about doing on December 25th when I know jolly well you don't do it on December the 25th. Well, Christianity gave December the 25th an official status, and you'd think that those people being persecuted by Rome would turn their back on it. After the Reformation, there were Protestants in Europe and Puritans in the United States who despised and opposed the celebration of Christmas. It was despised by the Puritans and the nonconformists in England. It was something that they had no part in and wanted no part of. At that time, troops would actually break up Christmas celebrations, tear down decorations. Now, I've noticed in the town nearby me, people put up their decorations and they don't take them down. You can drive down the streets and you can see icicles hanging from eavesdrops in July. Well, it's become such a big thing. There are Christmas shops that are open all year long, and you've got whole network stations on cable that they'll do Christmas junk. The whole Hallmark. Well, the figures, they're making a lot of money selling cards, aren't they? When the Americans settled in this land of ours, they considered Christmas a popish holiday. And if you celebrated it, you were guilty of wanton behavior, and you could be fined, and you could be put in the stocks. When my dear wife and I several times have visited Colonial Williamsburg out there near the courthouse, they have some stocks, and you can get your picture taken and stick your head in the stocks and your hand through the stocks and have your picture taken, and oh my, isn't that funny? It wasn't funny in the 1600s. It was serious business, and people would make fun of you and ridicule you if you went along with the popish holiday of Christmas, the Mass of the Christ. Did that ever dawn on you? Why it's called Christmas? The M-A-S on the end used to be M-A-S-S-E. It was the Mass of the Christ. It was a Roman Catholic pagan ritual. Nothing more, nothing less. Fascinating that we are so susceptible to these wrong things, but our flesh is an absolute hog. A pig. And when you can invent something whereby you can disregard Odin, the god of eternal life, symbolized by a pine tree, when you can disregard that Christ was born in late September, when you can disregard there was no little drummer boy, when we can look past all that's wrong, there's a lot of loot in it for you, isn't there? And the old selfish man says, well, we need to be able to get along with this, and we'll pass out a tract and a fruitcake. You lying hypocrite. Quoting from USA Today, quote, a broad element of English Christianity still considers Christmas celebrations a pagan blasphemy. The Puritans, Baptists, Quakers, Presbyterians, Calvinists, and other denominations brought this opposition to early New England, and strong opposition to the holiday lasted in America until the middle of the 18th century. Henry Ward Beecher, a Congregationalist, wrote in 1874 of his New England boyhood, and he said, to me, Christmas is a foreign day, and I shall die so thinking. When I was a boy, I wondered what Christmas was. I knew there was such a time because we have an Episcopal church in our time, and I saw them dressing it with evergreens and wondered what they were doing, taking wood into the church and a fire hazard, but I got no satisfactory explanation. A little later, I learned it was a Romish institution kept by the Romish church. My name is Terry McLean. This is the Pathfinding, Pioneering, Discerning the Times radio broadcast. And you know what I'm doing today? I'm telling you what you already know, but you lack the conviction to do anything about it.
That dispensationalism is a recent invention? Do you think that there is only one kind of dispensationalism? Have you ever heard of John Nelson Darby, Cyrus Ingerson Schofield, Ethelbert William Bullinger, Harvey Dean, Charles Welch, or Clarence Larkin? And do you think that any of those men are actually representative of dispensationalism, because they're not? Did you know there is such a thing as Acts 2 dispensationalism, which is very popular and very wrong? And did you know that there is such a thing as Acts 28 dispensationalism, which is very unpopular and it's also very wrong? And did you know that there are wolves in sheep's clothing who pretend they are mid-acts when actually they are 28ers and crooked? On my website, on my Dispensational Bible Institute page, you can watch me as I teach a full hour on what is dispensationalism, and I follow that up with an hour on why dispensationalism is important. And then 3 great hours of the history of dispensationalism. Download these videos for free. Watch them for free. You can even graduate the Dispensational Bible Institute for free. All for free, because the truth will set you free. And that truth comes without price, without prejudice, and without pressure. The website, discerningthetimespublishing.com. The page that you want on that website is the Dispensational Bible Institute page. By the way, do you have in-laws that have been bunking in your guest room and you'd like to get rid of them?
Mother-in-law. Mother-in-law.
I can get that done for you. You download these videos, drop them onto a DVD, and play them on your TV set. Those folks will be packing before the first hour is over, and your guest room can be your office once again. DiscerningTheTimesPublishing.com is the website. Go to the page on that website, which is the Dispensational Bible Institute.
I don't need a lot of presents to make my Christmas bright. I just need...
Terry McLean and Discerning the Times. Most famous of all preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, took December the 24th in 1871 as the occasion to stand in the Metropolitan pulpit and say these words: "We have no superstitious regard for times and seasons. Certainly, we do not believe in the present ecclesiastical arrangement called Christmas. First, because we do not believe in the Mass at all, but abhor it, whether it be said or sung in Latin or in English. And secondly, because we find no scriptural warrant whatever for observing any day as the birthday of the Savior. And consequently, its observance is a superstition, because it's not of divine authority. Superstition has fixed most positively the day of the Savior's birth, although there is no possibility of discovering the exact day when it occurred. It was not till the middle of the 3rd century that any part of the church celebrated the Nativity of the Lord." Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he goes on to say, "And it was not till very long after the Western Church had set an example that the Eastern Church adopted it. Because the day is not known, therefore, superstition has fixed it. Where is the method in the madness of the superstitions? Probably the fact that the holy days were arranged to fit with the heathen festivals. We venture to assert that if there be any day in the year on which we may be pretty sure that it was not the day on which the Savior was born, it was the 25th of December. Regard not the day. Let us nevertheless give thanks for the gift of God's dear Son." End of the quotation from Charles Haddon Spurgeon, preached December the 24th, 1871.
if you've read Alexander Hislop's The Two Babylons, or Papal Worship, you'll read on page 93, quote, "Upright men strove to stem the tide, but in spite of all their efforts, the apostasy was on, till the church, with the exception of a small remnant, was submerged under pagan superstition. That Christmas is a pagan festival is beyond all doubt. The time of the year and the ceremonies with which it is celebrated prove its pagan origin." End of quotation, Alexander Hislop, Two Babylons, page 93. Celebrating a day. It's wrong. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 declares it to be wrong. We're not under the law. We're not a part of the feast and festival system that Israel had as part of its religion. We're separate from that. We are the new creature, the body of Christ. So there's good reason to stay away from this stuff. When you regard one day over another, you are in the flesh. You're not in Christ crucified. When the pagan celebration of Christmas is rooted up and rejected, that's when you've got an opportunity for an expanse of Bible-believing Christianity that did not exist before. I believe this, and you go on your own and believe what you're going to anyhow, but I believe this. To the extent at which you compromise with the world system and the religious system, to that same extent, you'll be blind to Bible truth. I think it's clear. The few people who stand against Christmas are those few people who know more Bible and care more about the Bible than the great majority of folks that are out there. There was an old preacher down in Pensacola, Florida. He used to say, "Light rejected becomes lightning." Well, if you reject the light of the truth that paganism has invaded the church house and everybody loves it, don't be part of the everybody. There is no biblical warrant. There is no precedent. There is no precept for remembrance of the day of Christ's birth as a day of special religious celebration. And how wicked is it to celebrate someone else's birthday by getting gifts yourself? This is not a day that we should remember as being particularly special. We should bear about the dying of Christ every day in our life. And his death, burial, and resurrection should be ever present in everything we say and do. We do have a biblical command, a biblical precedent, to remember his death, not his birth. The Christianization of pagan rites and rituals brought to us by Roman Catholicism, with great help from Lutheranism and the Orthodox and the Episcopalians, is something that is shameful. And you don't need a Bible to do any of the things that they're doing. As a matter of fact, what they're doing, what you might be doing, is antithetical to the Bible. It's important to get hold of this, because if you don't get hold of it, it'll get hold of you. And next thing you know, you'll be caught up into a commemoration of exactly the wrong thing. It's a fascinating thing to me that it's almost exactly backwards. You can follow the chronology in your Bible. You can know when John the Baptist was born, and you can know that's 6 months different from Jesus' birth, and you can, by knowing John the Baptist's birth, then know that Jesus was born in late September. Having done that, knowing the course of Abia and a couple of other minor things that you need to know, here's what's ironic. It might be, since Jesus was born in late September, that his conception, when the Holy Ghost came to Mary, would have been in late December. That's fascinating, isn't it? Just exactly backwards. And here's the world. They are all over this business of celebrating Jesus' birth. The Bible would have you to commemorate his death. His death, his burial, his resurrection. The Apostle Paul says, God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross, not the birth. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no salvation in Jesus' birth. Salvation is a product of the cross, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. So consider the satanic misdirection which has gone on. And everybody can love a baby. And oh, a baby's so sweet. And a baby's non-threatening. And a baby doesn't scare anybody. Hell ought to scare people. And the judgment of Almighty God on our sins is a fearsome prospect without the death, burial, and resurrection having paid for our sins. It's a fearsome prospect. The world has it backwards. The church has it backwards. The agency of reversing everything and getting it backwards. Lazy people sitting in pews. Their leaders having been seduced by Roman Catholic lies. They'll stand in your pulpit and say, oh, I wouldn't be a Catholic. I couldn't do that. And they'll celebrate the Mass of the Christ. Do you see how wrong all of this is? Well, if not, I do hope the day comes when you see the importance of God manifest in the flesh, having died for your sins, buried, resurrected the third day with victory over death, hell, and the grave, and you trust what he did, and he'll save your soul. When you look at that manger scene, I would say this to you. Jesus grew up and died for your sins. Jesus is a big boy now.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening?
No, they've been listening to Terry McLean and Discerning the Times. Check out the website, discerningthetimespublishing.com. discerningthetimespublishing.com.